and turn to James chapter 5 and verse number 12. James chapter 5 and verse number 12, and before you do that, I want to read a passage of Scripture to give it some context about what we're speaking, to give this message some context about what we're speaking about this morning. And of course, I'm sure you've been in church. If you've been in church long enough, you've heard preachers go to this Hebrews chapter 12 passage and talk about shedding some weight for the beginning of the year, right? Or we all want to go into this new year with a fresh outlook. This is the first Sunday of the new year. And so I'm going to read this, and then we'll go over to and we'll begin the message. I'll read this as you're turning to James chapter 5, verse 12. Hebrews 12 says this, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Let's pray today. Lord, we do ask that you would add your blessing to the reading of your word. I pray that you'd help us give this this message perspective according to the new year and the context that we're set in before us today as we think about this. And so, God, would you add your blessing to the reading of your word? And God, speak to us deep in the crevices of our heart and soul and the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. God, you only know what's out in our hearts, and you can draw it out. I pray that you'd help us today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I read the passage in Hebrews chapter 12 because I really wanted us to consider what's before us. We have a new year, and some of us are going to need to go in this new year and run our race without the weight of the past, without the encumbrances of past sins, past aggressions, past stumblings. The only way that we're going to run the race that we have set before us this year is if we go ahead and just take care of all the encumbrances right now. And I'm so glad that we can come to church. We come to church for a lot of reasons. We can worship the Lord. But one of the reasons we get to come to church is we do get that reset with the Lord. It's a good time to remind us how to run our race with patience, how to run our race, how to confess our sins to God and say, "God, you're right, I was wrong, please forgive me. And so, God, will you help me as I go forward in this next year?" And guess what God will do when you do that? He'll help you. He'll forgive you. He'll give grace where we humble ourselves. And so I'm asking God to do this. I have 8 points and a short time to do it, okay? But I think this is a message on biblical forgiveness that you've probably never heard quite like this. And I hope it'll be a help to you. The message is on biblical forgiveness. You know, we have the power and the access to not take the interpersonal relationship problems of next year, of last year into this year. And I'm not talking about putting away toxic people. I want to make that very clear right now. We're going to delineate that. There is a time for that. There's a time to separate, okay? We're going to delineate that because if you just go into year and you're just put away toxic people, person after person after person after person, as if you're the only one right in this generation, you'll isolate yourself and you'll cut off the grace of God from many people's lives, including yourself. But what I want to talk about this morning is going into this new year with the idea and through the process to which God has put together in His Word of biblical forgiveness. Now, if you just put away toxic people and that's all you do, you practice the coping mechanism of avoidance. And all you're doing is coping. so you don't have to deal with it. Guess what? It goes on and on and on, and there's no avoiding avoidance. You have to come to terms with yourself one day. You have to come stand before the God of the universe one day with what, how you've stewarded those interpersonal communications and relationships that you have. And I don't need to, you know, I don't need to know anybody in this room, but to know that we live in the same society and, you know, we have the same problems and we suffer relational the same way, don't we? And sometimes it's our fault, and sometimes it's the other people's fault in the interpersonal communication. But there's always a remedy. There's always a remedy. And here's what I want to go. There's really just 8 points that I want to get through this morning. And it's really 8 aspects that will help you access this interpersonal relationship and not let it be tangled up into this next year. So ready? Here we go. What we're going to talk about is the subject of biblical forgiveness. And it's not exactly what you think. Listen to this. Number one, biblical forgiveness has to have an honest reporting system. It has to have an honest reporting system. That's where James chapter 5 and verse number 12 comes in. But the Bible says, "But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be your yea, and your nay be your nay, lest you fall into condemnation." Now, what we learn that's inferred out of James chapter number 5 and verse number 12 is, you are you, and I'm me. There has to be, in order to understand who is the debtor and who is the debtee in this offense of a relationship that maybe you went through or you felt recently at Christmas or in the holiday season or when you got around family that you haven't been around for a while and there's this tension building up there. Maybe you are the offender. But maybe somebody has offended you. And there's a need for biblical forgiveness. There's a need for biblical forgiveness. And so biblical forgiveness has to have an honest reporting system. If we're going to know who's who and who's the debtee and who's the debtor to know whom needs to forgive whom, then we have to have an honest reporting system. Listen to this. Biblical forgiveness requires an exact accounting system. You are responsible for your thoughts, your feelings, and your emotions. You know, we tell our children growing up, well, he made me mad. And we say, no, he can't make you mad. Isn't that what we tell them as parents? No one can make you mad. And yet, by the time we get to our, as adults, by the time we get to our relationships, without saying it, we say the same thing. Well, he made me mad. No, no. You are responsible for your thoughts, your feelings, and your emotions. Can I say this? God made your yea, your yea. And God made your nay, your nay. God gives you a will. He separates you as a person. And sometimes we get mixed up because of the sins or the problems that we tangle ourselves up in these relationships, and their problem is all of a sudden my problem. And so we have to have, number one, an honest reporting system of who offended whom. We have to know, in order to deal with biblical forgiveness, you have to know what is the issue. And if you've done something wrong in that, then you're responsible for your end of the transaction in that as well. If you've offended, then it's your job to go to the person and ask for forgiveness, right? It's your job to confess that to them. And whether they forgive you or not, you've done what you've done. And you're right before God. And I can say this, that if you're right before God, the Bible says when man's ways please the Lord, there's a tendency, listen, that he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. And so if we just simply do what's right because it's right before God, the tendency is The proverbial thought is that we'll end up in a trajectory of doing right most of the time and being more at peace with our neighbor. But listen to this. Not only is there an honest reporting system in biblical forgiveness that's going to help if we distinguish ourselves from someone else, but it requires an exact accounting system. I'm responsible. Who's responsible for whom? I want to just stop right here. I know I don't have much time left. Okay? But sometimes we think of an abusive situation. 1 in 3 women in the United States of America are abused by the time they become an adult. 1 in 4 are raped. And sometimes women struggle with this the most. The abuser tends to superimpose guilt because of their sin. And for some reason, you'll end up apologizing when somebody's sinned against you. And I want you to know that I'm not talking, I'm going to delineate you out of this for right now. There's a distinction. It's the same process, but there's a distinction that you need to make. And so I'm not trying to put guilt on you, any more guilt on you at this time than has already been put on you. I want you to know just this for right now, that you are responsible for your thoughts, how you react, not what somebody has done to you. You know, it was Corrie Ten Boom that had to look her aggressors in the eye, her captors in the eye, and she would preach the message of forgiveness all that time, but her guards confronted her, one of her guards confronted her on one of her talks in the United States of America, and she didn't want to forgive, but she realized that she was responsible for her thoughts, for her feelings, and her emotions. She was accountable to God, not to that person. And she did the right thing before God and forgave. Not just in deed, not just in word, but in deed. She forgave that man. Now, so we've made a distinguishment about abusers. I'm going to try to put the notes under the link. I think we're live streaming today, and so I'll try to put these notes in the link. If you want to go back and reference them or listen to the message, I know this is a lot to take in today. And so, number one, we have to have an honest reporting system. Number two is we have to have an exact accounting system. And then, listen, in this accounting system, we have a biblical command to forgive. Whether we like it or not, we still have a biblical command to forgive. And so it's still my choice whether I obey the Lord or not. God gave you the right to choose, didn't he? He said, your yea is your yea. But he didn't give you the right to choose your consequences. So if you don't forgive like God's asked you to forgive, and we'll tell you what that means here in a minute, the biblical way, not the way that somebody tells you should forgive, the biblical way to forgive, not what somebody's idea of forgiveness looks like. You're responsible to God for your thoughts, feelings, and emotions and what you do in that situation. But God says, if you don't do it my way, then there are natural consequences. You'll have to stand before me one day and if you've not done it the right way. So we have a choice, but we have to obey the commandment, but he doesn't make us. Even God gives us a free will to do that. Number three, biblical forgiveness is not the same as reconciliation. Reconciliation, I wrote it like this, biblical forgiveness is the debt ease alone to give. Reconciliation is when the debtor chooses to accept the gift of forgiveness and thereby his account is cleared. So biblical forgiveness is not the same as reconciliation. Reconciliation is when the person, when you say, I forgive you, and the person receives the forgiveness. They've asked for forgiveness. There's a reconciliation relationally. There's we would like to say it like this, the whole transaction. But biblical forgiveness does this. Biblical forgiveness is yours to give alone. It's the debt ease alone to give. God gave you that choice, that free will, what you're going to do in response to somebody's wronging you. He's given you that choice. And it's also our responsibility for God not to reconcile, because that would be us trying to ask another person to do that. And God's not asking you to circumvent the free will of another person. He himself doesn't do that. God is asking you to be ready to reconcile. And that's a little harder sometimes. No, forgiveness is easy. You can do that in your heart at any point in time because the grace of God's forgiven you. But reconciliation is different. Or being ready to be reconciled, that's a little bit harder sometimes. But I'm going to make a distinguishment for you in the case of abuse later on. So just hold on to that thought. I love this by a book called Boundaries by Henry Cloud. Nothing clarifies boundaries more than forgiveness. To forgive others means letting them off the hook or canceling the debt that they owe you. When you refuse to forgive someone, you want something from that person. And even if it's revenge that you want, it keeps you tied to that person forever. Refusing to forgive a family member is one of the main reasons people are stuck for years, unable to separate from their dysfunctional family. They still want something from them. It's much better to receive grace from God, listen to this, who has something to give and forgive, than those who have no money to pay their debt. This ends your suffering because it ends the wish for repayment that is never forthcoming, and that will make your heart sick when your hope is deferred. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, Proverbs 13:12. If you do not forgive, you are demanding something from your offender that they do not choose to give, and even if it's only a confession of what he did, this ties him to you and ruins boundaries, by Henry Cloud. Isn't that great? That's a great concept. You think you're releasing that person from your boundaries, but in your heart you're tying yourself to them for the need for revenge, for the need for even a confession. And instead, you can release them from their debt because of what Jesus did for you, receive grace from God who has something to give. By the way, how much grace does God have? It's unlimited. It never runs out. My grace runs out. My patience runs out. How many of his patience runs out sometimes, right? My patience runs out. I'm a fairly patient person regarding relationships. Not driving or anything like that, but maybe regarding relationships. Why? Because I've been trained. I know this stuff. But I'm just going to tell you, when people start attacking me, I can have patience. When they start attacking my family, I begin to lose patience. I begin to get a little frustrated, don't you? And yet, we're tying ourselves to their aggression. We're binding ourselves up. And this year needs to be the year that we set ourselves free from these weights that does so easily beset us. If you're going to go into 2022 running your race with patience, this is going to be the year that you need to say, look, I'm not going to be weighed down by that. I'm going to settle it the right way. In my mind right now, I'm listening to what you say, Brother Tracy, and I'm settling the matter right now. As you're giving these points, I'm taking care of it in my heart right now. And listen to this, biblical forgiveness is conceptualized. I'm going to kind of skip this one. All right, number four is this. Why? Because Christ forgave you. We have a biblical command to do it, but how do we forgive it? Well, it was undeserved. By the way, any biblical forgiveness was undeserved, whether it's you receiving forgiveness of God or whether it's them receiving forgiveness of you. We all need mercy, don't we? We're all sinners. We're all in the same boat. We're all together become undone, the Bible says. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the truth is, Christ died for the ungodly. And so, it's paid for good. By the way, when we forgive, we need to we need to forgive without anybody that deserved it. It was paid in full when Christ forgave. And then listen, it was paid for good. When you got saved, when I got saved, I never looked back. February the 12th, 1997, I got saved. And I look back now and go, wait, Christ's payment was for good. It was like for a lifetime, right? Not just a lifetime, but it's eternal life. The Bible says that we shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hands. Well, we got to move on. We have a command to do it. Biblical forgiveness method, number five. It's not self-serving alone, but for Christ's sake. Well, I'm going to do this just because I want to clear the air in my life. Listen, the motivation for forgiving that Christ had, it was for a higher honor. It was, and the Bible says, to be kind one to another in Ephesians 4:32. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, listen to this, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And so when you forgive, it's not for your own sake, it's for Christ's sake. It's for His glory. It's for His honor. It's not a utilitarian kind of a tool bag that you can put in this. Listen, I got a degree in counseling, and I know the mental and health needs that we all have, and God has designed His word to work in those situations, but our motivation shouldn't be self-serving in this. There are plenty of other counseling methods that we can do that are self-serving, but this method of biblical forgiveness sets your mental health to a higher level, because not only did you receive the utilitarian purpose or the helpfulness of the concept of forgiveness in your own life, but you did it for the right reasons. You did it for His glory. And no one can do that in all the counseling literature. No one else has a method like that. Hey, Christ was offended by our sin. He forgave Himself. He forgave because He Himself paid for our sin. And then He continues to give us the strength, even when we don't forgive. He continues to give us grace in our heart to continually forgive. That's a concept we don't have time to understand the matchlessness of that concept. But the method is really, how do I do it? Well, when Christ was on the cross, He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, even when He was on the cross, dying for the sins of all of mankind, He thought the best of those He was forgiving, those who had offended Him. Sometimes, when we forgive others, it's for self-serving purposes. Sometimes when we forgive others, we don't want the best for the other person in mind. And I'm going to tell you this little secret. You're not going to be able to do that on your own. That's another level that you're going to need the grace of God in your life to receive that grace to forgive the person. Not just the grace to forgive the person and release them from the debt, but to forgive the person and want the best for them in their life. That's the love from above. That's the agape that only God knows, that He said that we can do based upon who He is. And so, listen to this. Number six, biblical forgiveness is finality. I'm going to ask Brother Bach if you'll read Matthew 18:21-34 here in just a minute. Matthew 18:21-34. Because I think I can wrap up the last two points really quickly. But I want to just say this. We can forgive as a debtor could forgive the debt and release people from the debtor's prison. That's the picture in the Bible of forgiveness. It likens forgiveness with money. We understand the concept of forgiveness because we understand. How many have some bills after the holidays, right? How many still have your Christmas decorations up? All right. How many already took them down? like the day. Okay, see, we got a divided church. You already have interpersonal communication problems right here, relational problems. Some of you are divided on this issue. I'm just causing one, but just for illustration's sake. But when somebody wrongs you, you can release them. Look, it doesn't depend on them. It doesn't depend on a, I'm sorry. Well, when they say I'm sorry, then I'm going to forgive them. No, you're responsible for your thoughts, feelings, and emotions. And you're responsible before God with your actions and your reactions. And I'm responsible for mine. And so you tying yourself to what they're going to do is unwise. It's comparing yourselves amongst yourselves. And so I'll say it like this. So forgiveness, the guilty do not have to pay the debt, but we have the right as the debtor to release anyone from the debt that they owe us. Why? Because it's something they owe us, right? We have the right to release them. And we can, listen to this, and we can trust that God can repay them if they're guilty. We can also trust that God has repaid us because Christ died for us and we didn't deserve it. So the accounting's all right. The math is all worked out. You don't have to worry about who's one up and who, and who hasn't done their job and their responsibility. You have one job, and that's to live your life before God. To live your life before God. To live your relationships before God. Brother Bach, will you read this passage out loud? Debtor's prison. The debt is the debtee's alone to forgive. But because we've been forgiven, we should have pity. We should forgive freely. Number seven, biblical forgiveness is continuation. What do I do? How do I continue to have this forgiveness? Vengeance is God's. And listen, I'm going to make a statement. I'd like you to write this down. This might help you in the year to come. The justice of God is a satisfactory answer to the adjudication of the transgression. Give it to God. Write that in the front of your Bible, the back if you're right there. And I'll say it again. The justice of God is a satisfactory answer to the adjudication of the transgression. Give it to God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12 and verses 14 through 21, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. And be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend unto men of low estate. Be not wise in thine own conceit. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest side of all men, if it be possible, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him to drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Let's say that together. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with... That's the continuation of biblical forgiveness. You can do it because the justice of God is a satisfactory answer to the adjudication of the transgression. The finality belongs to God. Lastly, in this... Or no, let's not move on yet. Giving up our right to retaliate. It's giving up your right to retaliate. Say, God, this was wrong. This was done to me. I don't understand it. But in the person of Christ, I forgive. How can we do it? It's in the person of Christ. Paul said, forgave I anything unto you? Forgave I it in the person of Christ. I can't do it in my own strength because I can't handle people talking about my family. I can't handle people destroying my family. I can't handle those relational things that trigger me, that trigger a response in my life. I can't handle it, but I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And I can trust that he's going to take care of who he needs to take care of one day, whether they say they're sorry or not. By the way, how are you going to get biblical forgiveness with a dead relative? Well, they need to pay for that. They need to come back. Listen, secular counseling would tell you to go urinate on their grave. That doesn't sound like a satisfactory answer to the adjudication of the transgression, does it? Well, I'll just feel better. No, you'll feel better when you receive the grace of God. Number 8, biblical forgiveness boundary. It's just something I'm going to read to you. Here's where we get to. I got a paragraph left to read. Here's where we get to. What if there's been abuse? What if I don't understand how, what am I supposed to do in that situation? Even if forgiveness and reconciliation have occurred, which you're to be ready to reconcile, that's the optimal place, is forgiveness has occurred on your part, reconciliation has been, you've been reconciled together, they've said, I'm sorry, they've received your forgiveness, there's been a transaction that's been made. Listen to this, though. Even if forgiveness and reconciliation have occurred, there must be clear lines of delineation allowing for healing of the hurt and potential need to nurture pain of a wound biblically. That's the grace of the forgiven to give you space. I'm just saying this is how it's supposed to optimally happen. I'm not saying this is how it always happens, but that's why God gave us a foolproof method that we can be at peace with God and others, because our confidence isn't tied to what people do or don't do, or to what people say or don't say. Your yea is your nay, and you're responsible to God for your thoughts, feelings, and emotions. And whether people like the way you've handled the transaction or not, you don't have to tie yourself to it. You can say, in the person of Christ, forgave I, and I still forgive. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I live before God, and your confidence will be boosted before God, saying, I handled it that way. Not in a self-arrogant way, but listen to this. In the optimal, when pain has happened like that, there needs to be some time for the wound to heal biblically. They need time to receive instruction. You need time to receive grace. I'm not saying you can't be reconciled. I'm just saying your intimate relationship may not be the exact same way at the exact same time it was this time last year. And so here's what happens. The deadee, all parties must deal in truth of reality that pain hurts, even if it's healing. The deadee and the deador may have to agree where proper boundaries are drawn temporarily, while trust and treaties are built. Still, there's a danger in dissolving relationships in permanence. There may indeed be drawn a treaty of mutual respect and consent when an offense so large involves an elongated period to elapse before the boundaries would ever meet again. But it's unhealthy coping mechanism and a bad habit to permanently delete all hurtful people out of your life forever without having ever reevaluated the relationship's boundaries line again. This builds a pattern of avoidance. And an even better solution would be if the hurt were not of a physical nature and the two parties may quickly allow Christ's love to permeate their hearts and draw them together in love. Each party is still responsible for their own boundary markers, their own thoughts, their own feelings, and their own emotions. Each party is fully accountable to God for their own heart's sake. There's a tendency to let a root of bitterness creep up again with offenses. This type of consistent forgiveness requires God's help and opening a new gift of grace each time the wound is opened. Failing to go to God is the only way to fail of the grace of God. He desires an opening of a gift of grace each and every time the wound is opened back up, either by memory or resentment. Last verse, Hebrews 12 and verse 14 through 15. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. That root of bitterness will seep in if we don't access the grace of God and open up the gift of this grace. I know it's been a different kind of a message, but I want you to be helped today in this new year. I want you to access grace. I want you to go into 2022 unencumbered, fully at peace, because everything you need is here this morning. Your thoughts, your feelings, your emotions, God, His instruction. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would help us to receive the free forgiveness of sin. If someone's here that's never received the free forgiveness of sins from Jesus Christ, I pray that you would, may this be the day of their eternal life. And God, what a wonderful illustration to live the rest of our life in communication with our brethren, because we can forgive. God, I pray that you would help each relationship, each person's hurt in their heart, with tender forgiveness, receiving your grace and instruction the right way. And God, if there's anyone that would need our counseling ministry, I pray that you would help give them the courage to set that up and be able to talk to their pastor, talk to somebody that they can trust to help them, to come alongside them in the times that life is heavier than we can bear. Lord, I pray that you would help us in this invitation. It's in Jesus' name we pray.